Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Just a minute, I got to move some cords. You know, I have this thing about cords. I tell Shara every week, I don't know if you've noticed, but I give her my sermon title and text, and she puts it on the sign out front. And this week when I told her, she said, "Oh, good, Christmas." So I just realized what I should have done is turned the air conditioner down really, really low and made it really cold in here. Yeah. Luke chapter 2. There's a lot of bad news in our world today. It's easy to get both distracted and discouraged by the things that are happening around us and to us. And so today, I just wanted to give you some good news. And I'll be honest with you, I just kind of wanted to hear some good news. You know, it's nice to say good news and hear good news every now and then. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8 through verse 11. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That, of course, is the announcement of the birth of Jesus. And you'll notice that the first words in the announcement of His birth were, "Fear not." I've told you this before, you probably already know it, but the most repeated command in all of Scripture is, "Fear not." If you're a Christian today, this morning, there is no reason to have any fear of anyone or anything. There's no reason to live in fear. Lots of people are living in fear today. And if you're a Christian, there's no reason for it. Because of Jesus, we can fear not. We can have personal joy and personal peace and all those things. And it's good to be a Christian. There is sin in this world, and those who die in their sin will be condemned to eternal death and hell. That's not such good news. But the good news is that there is a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and He is the Son of God. It is very important that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, not the son of Joseph or any other man. The Bible is very careful, very, very careful to tell us specifically who is the Father of Jesus and He is the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 31 and 34 and 5 say, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Amen. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," that is essentially engaged, but in ancient times an espousal was basically the same thing as a marriage today. They simply had not consummated the marriage yet. "So that while she was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, is the Son of the living God. We let the unsaved world, and sometimes we let those who claim to be Christians, diminish Jesus Christ, diminish His place, diminish His authority. He is equal with God in a way that's difficult to understand. He is God, and He is the only Son of God. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And He is the Savior for everyone. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus was the Savior for the publican. You remember the publican who came to Him and received Him. He was also the Savior for the Pharisee who rejected Him. Jesus was the Savior for the man who lived in the cemetery, possessed with a legion of demons. You remember that guy? He was naked and crazy and scars all over his body. He was a wild man. Jesus was his Savior. Jesus was the Savior for Nicodemus, who was the ruler of the Jews. You remember one time they brought some little children to Jesus, and the disciples sort of rebuked him and said, "Don't do that." And Jesus said, "Oh, let them come to me, because Jesus is the Savior for the little children." And then they brought to Jesus a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and Jesus was her Savior as well. Young and old, rich and poor, famous and unknown, every color, every race, every nation, Jesus is the Savior for all people. Now, we say that and we believe that, and sometimes we have a tendency to think Jesus is the Savior for everyone, and sometimes we forget He's my Savior too. Jesus is your Savior. He is your only Savior. I talked about this before. It's not new. All throughout history, listen, since time began, since maybe I should say since Adam and Eve first sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, there have been those who have said, well, there are lots of ways to have peace with God. There's lots of ways to get to heaven. Not too long ago, Oprah Winfrey came out and she said, oh, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. Well, I got news for you. Oprah didn't die for you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. Only Jesus died on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for your sins. Only Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death for you. Only Jesus ascended into heaven and is there waiting to descend to take those who will follow Him and are faithful to Him home to be with Him in heaven. Only Jesus saves. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He can do anything. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Luke 1:37, probably most of you know it, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Matthew 19:26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I can remember praying about things. One thing in particular I was praying about one time, and as I was praying, I thought, well, it's already too late to pray about it. You know, the wheels are already in motion, and things are already being done, and it's too late to pray. And God reminded me, nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. Doesn't matter if the wheels are already in motion. He can bring them to a screeching halt. He can change the direction. God can do anything. That's another thing that we forget. Sometimes, boy, you know what? We get to thinking, everybody's got problems and everybody's problems are big, but my problems are bigger than anybody else's. Have you noticed that? My toe hurts more than anybody else's toe. Sometimes we think our problems are so big that they're too big for God, that God can't do anything about it. Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible." When they ran out of wine at the wedding in Cana, Jesus turned water into wine. Can you do that? I can't do that. When the nobleman's son was sick and at the point of death, Jesus simply spoke the word and he was healed. When the paralyzed man was at the pool of Bethesda, had been there for a long, long time, and when the angel troubled the water, he had nobody to help him to get down to the water to be the first in the pool because he was paralyzed. And Jesus came along, and Jesus spoke the word, and he was healed. When 5,000 men, plus women and children, some have estimated a crowd of 15 to 20,000, when they were hungry and had nothing to eat, Jesus took 5 little loaves of bread and 2 small fish, the Bible says, and he fed the entire multitude, and he had 12 baskets of leftovers. I got to thinking about that as I was preparing this message, and I thought, you know, what would happen if the government tried to feed 15 or 20,000 people? It'd be such a mess. When the disciples were out on the sea in the midst of a storm, so bad that they thought they were going to perish, Jesus was asleep in the boat. And they woke him up and they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus said 3 words, "Peace be still." And the Bible says that there was a great calm. I love that story. A great calm. When the widow of Nain was walking in a funeral procession and following the dead body of her only son, Jesus stopped the procession and he brought that dead boy back to life. When Jairus' daughter had died and they made fun of Jesus, he said, "Oh, she's just asleep," and they made fun of him. The Bible says that they mocked him, but Jesus brought her back to life. When Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days, 4 days in the tomb, and Jesus said, "Why don't you roll the stone back?" And Martha said, "Oh, don't do that. He stinks by now. He's already begun to decompose." And Jesus said 3 words, "Lazarus, come forth." And a man who had been dead and buried for 4 days walked out of the grave. Amen. When you and I sinned against Almighty God, and there was nothing that we could do, there was no work that we could do, no amount of money that we could pay, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God and the Savior of the world, came to this earth, and he lived a perfect and sinless life, and he died on the cross of Calvary, offered his life's blood as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we could be saved. That may be the greatest miracle of all time. When you are weak and think you can't go any longer, Jesus can give you strength. When you are in turmoil or distress or afraid, Jesus can give you peace. When you are in sorrow and in pain, Jesus can give you comfort. When you're all alone, think nobody loves you and nobody cares about you, and guess what? Nobody may care about you, but Jesus does. And he will be your friend that will never forsake you. When you don't know where to turn and what to do, Jesus will give you direction, and he will give you purpose in this life. Jesus, the divine Savior, is omnipotent. There is nothing that Jesus cannot do. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus, and he is the soon coming King. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "And when he," that is Jesus, "had spoken these things, while they looked, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I don't think in recent years, at least, probably in the last 10 or 15 years maybe, there's been quite as much talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ as there is now. There's turmoil, there's confusion, there's problems in this world, there's turmoil and confusion and problems in our government. They have at least temporarily, successfully closed the churches. Most are beginning to open back up. Some are still struggling. Some are still under the threat of lawsuits and fines for meeting to worship Jesus. There's problems and difficulties, and so it has turned our attention, as Christian people, it has turned our attention to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says nobody knows. If somebody's trying to tell you they know when, don't believe them, because the Bible says no one knows, not even the Son of Man, but only God the Father knows when the second coming will be. But the Bible does say that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, in the days of Noah, the Bible says that they were marrying and giving in marriage. All that means is they were going about their life not thinking about God, not concerned about God, not believing what Noah had told them, that rain was coming. Well, look around today. People are going about their lives not thinking about God, unconcerned with God, arrogant toward God, and not believing the church when it says that Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. You know what? I know that when you say those kinds of things, some people think you're a little bit crazy. They think you're reactionary, or they think you're a conspiracy theorist, or lots of different things. But basically, they think you're just a little bit touched. I want you to think about something for just a minute, especially if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. I want you to think about this for just a minute. If I'm wrong, if what I believe is wrong, if what the Bible says is wrong, there is no heaven and there is no hell and there's really no point to life, is there? And if I'm wrong, I have lost absolutely nothing. I just told you, it's good to be a Christian, man. I like being a Christian. I enjoy life. I have peace. I have joy. Sure, there are problems, and I have problems like everybody else, but it's good to be a Christian. So if I'm wrong and I've just convinced myself that all this is true, it's okay. I've had a pretty good life. But if you're living without Jesus and you die without Jesus and you are wrong, then your eternal soul will burn in hell. And you've lost everything. It's not even a good bet. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and followed Him, their work will be rewarded and we will get to go to heaven. And those who die without Jesus Christ, who have rejected Him, their work will be punished and they will be condemned to eternity in hell. That's the truth. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. John chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus laid down his life for you to prove to you that he loves you. You realize that Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. It was optional for him. He came to earth to die, but even when he came to the moment of the crucifixion, even as they laid his hands and his feet out on the cross to drive the spikes through them, he could have easily, the Bible says, called legions of angels, hundreds of thousands of angels, to come from heaven and deliver him from crucifixion. As a matter of fact, he didn't need the angels. He simply could have thought the thought or spoke the words and he would have been delivered from the cross. But he laid down his life for you because he loves you. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And he will forgive you of your sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to ask you, Christian, I want to ask you this morning, is there some sin in your life? You know, Christians aren't perfect. I mean, I'm not perfect. Maybe you are, but I'm not. Is there some sin in your life? God loves you. Jesus is still your Savior, and he will still forgive you. Is there something that you've done that you shouldn't have done? Jesus will forgive you if you'll ask him. Maybe, Christian, there's something that you haven't done that you should have done. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you'll ask Jesus, he'll forgive you, Christian. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You've never confessed that you're a sinner to God. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. Maybe you've done it before, but you, for some reason, you've turned away from God and you need to kind of come back and rededicate your life. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And he will forgive you.